Well, could you open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, in chapter 14. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 14, the Gospel of John in chapter 14, and we're reading the first 7 verses. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, beginning to read from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And God will add the blessing to the reading of his word. The scene that is before us is a scene that only a very select group of people ever were privileged to be in attendance. Or if you like, the scene before us is of a very special group of disciples who are gathered with the Lord Jesus Christ on the last night, on the evening before his betrayal. And above this room, we call it the upper room discourse, begins in John chapter 13, from John chapter 13 to verse 17, is this specter of the cross of Calvary. The shadow of the cross of Calvary is hovering over this very scene. In a few hours' time, our dear Savior will be taken. He will be arrested. He will be judged. He will be sentenced. And he will be handed over to be crucified. And yet, none of that has affected the Lord Jesus Christ's concern and compassion for his disciples. In John chapter 13, verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ is asked Simon Peter a question. Peter is confused in verse 36 of where is Christ going? And if he's going somewhere, I want to follow him. Peter is so like many of us. He doesn't quite think the whole process through. And the Lord Jesus tells him in verse 38, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The Lord Jesus Christ has told Simon Peter he will deny him 3 times, but he will not betray him. Someone else was the traitor, Judas Iscariot. So in chapter 14, you might expect this conversation to continue, but no. The Lord looks around the room. He scans his disciples' faces. And listen to these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So the context of this event, the context of this meeting, the content even of this conversation is of the Lord with his disciples who are very troubled. We have been going through the I Ams of Christ over the last few weeks. Last week we took a little break from that because of the event of the induction, but we've looked together firstly at I am the bread of life, John chapter 6, verse 35. And then secondly, we looked at I am the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. And thirdly, we looked at I am the door of the sheep, John chapter 10, verse 7. And fourthly, we looked at I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verse 11. Last time, if you remember this that long ago, I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11, verse 25. So this morning we come to the sixth I am, and it is I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is with his disciples. These are the last hours. Soon, as I said, he will be betrayed and arrested. These are precious, poignant moments. He's with his closest followers. He has chosen these men. These are his preaching team. These are his devoted disciples. And the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 13, has just washed their feet. And at the end of John chapter 13, he has just told Peter that he will deny him. And this morning, I want us to consider together these three main words, the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll deal with the context as we go through. But I do want you to notice three introductory remarks. The first is this: the Lord's pastoral concern for his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. That's so important. Dear Christian, dear believer, don't you realize that the Lord's heart for you this morning, the Lord's compassion for you, is that you wouldn't be over-troubled. This word here is troubled, could be translated as agony. These men are in real distress. And the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. That's the first thing. Secondly, he reveals something to them. Not only do we see pastoral compassion, but we see a revelation. He tells them something that perhaps many people today, even reading John chapter 14, wouldn't get. Jesus reveals that he is indeed God the Son, or, if you like, the Son of God. And how can we say that? Well, ye believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God as Father? Well, I'm telling you that I am the same as God the Father in substance. I am co-equal with God the Father. This isn't Jesus saying, I am another face of God the Father, which is a wrong thinking, a wrong teaching. But here he says, believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, a little further, Thomas asks, where are you going? Philip asks, show me the Father. And what's Jesus' response? He says, have I been with you so long, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That simply means this, that when you see my miracles, when you see my grace, when you see my compassion, when you see my love, that is an expression of the love of God the Father to you. And the third thing we realize is he tells them of where he's going and that they're going too. So we looked at pastoral compassion, we looked at revelation, that he is the Son of God, and thirdly, we're just going to see very quickly that he is the one who's prepared the way. But he uses a very important term here, and it's just beautiful how he uses this term. He says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Father's house. The Father's house. In other words, he's saying to them, because you have trusted in me, though your faith is very small, you're going to the Father's house. In other words, you're going to glory. The Father's house here is a wonderful description, but it's also building upon a picture in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we're told that in Isaiah 6 and verses 1 to 6, for instance, Isaiah sees the train of the Lord's robe. He gets a picture, a glimpse of glory. In 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 1, the glory of heaven, a place of peace, blessing, sinless perfection. David is told that David wants to build God a house, a temple. And God says, no, I'll build your house. I'll build a dynasty. Christ was the son of David. I mean, you read that in Scripture. But the Father's house is a kind of like a new discovery for them. It reveals something of God the Father to them. And we could look at one or two other things, but let's just look at the three main words I want us to take home this morning. First of all, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's look at the way for a moment. This is John chapter 14, verse 6. It's in response to a question that Thomas asks. Thomas is often remembered as the doubting Thomas. But here, he is the one who's the questioning Thomas. He wants to know where Jesus is going. Jesus has said in verse 4, and whither I go, ye and the way ye know. And Thomas asks a natural question. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And the Lord gives him this profound answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Let's look at the way for a moment. I am the way. This word is used over 102 times in the New Testament. It's the word udos or odos. It can be translated as exodus. It's used to describe the discussion that Elijah and Moses and Christ had on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospel of Matthew. They discussed the way. The way can be a way. It can be a well-trodden path, and there's plenty of those around us. And if we're fit enough, we can go up into the hills and into the mountains, and you find a way, and it's the sheep's way. They walk that way most of the time. This way could also be translated, or could be understood as a way of life, as we find in the Psalms. But the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to is He is the way. He is the path. He is the door, as we read in John chapter 10 and verse 7. He's the door of the sheep. And I just wanted to notice two things under this heading. There was a way closed and a way open. The first mention of the word way in the Bible is Genesis 3 and verse 24. You have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God's holy word. It speaks about a way that's closed, a way that's blocked. Adam and Eve, our first parents, had sinned against God. And God, as part of their punishment, as part of their discipline, they were to be blocked from the way back to the Garden of Eden. God puts holy angels and a flashing of fiery sword to stop them returning. That's a picture that Adam and Eve had lovely, beautiful fellowship, to time with the Lord. But they couldn't go back that way anymore. The way was closed. Because of the sin of mankind, you cannot get back the way that Adam and Eve had enjoyed. You can't go back by your own righteousness or by your own effort or by your own religion. But God had always promised that He'd open up a way. Hey, right throughout the Old Testament, He had pointed to the way. In the Old Testament, in the language of the Old Testament believer, it was the way of salvation. And here, for these Jewish men who'd grown up in Judaism, the Lord Jesus Christ uses this term, I am the way. I am the way. The last mention of the way, this word way, in the New Testament is in Hebrews 10 and verse 19. There's other places you'll find the way mentioned. But it speaks of a new and living way. Literally in the original language, that simply means a freshly slain lamb. And so for the Jewish believers, they're thinking, the way? He's the way? In other words, He's the way back to God, as we sang in one of our little gospel songs over the years. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And where does that begin? At Calvary's cross is where it begins. He is the way. Now notice something here. He doesn't say, I am a way. Just for a moment, think it through. How many ways are there up the mountains around us? Many ways. But not to salvation. Not to forgiveness of sin. Not to know God as your heavenly Father. There's only one way, friends. And Jesus Christ says, I am not a way. I am not one of many ways. No, he says, I am the way. And he says to you this morning, do you know the way? If you know the way to heaven, then you've already trusted in him as your Savior. He is the way. In Hebrews 10, where Paul writes, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. How does God make it possible for us to know him? Well, it's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 35, Jesus is that lamb that was slain, and he was slain from the foundation of the world. And if Christ is your Savior this morning, then you're going the right way. There's only one way that exists in God's mind to know him. It's an exclusive and narrow way, and there's no other way possible. Have you come the way? If you come to Christ, if you trusted in him as your Savior, then you know he's the way. So he's the way. Secondly, he's the truth. He says here, he doesn't say, I am a truth, or am I another truth. He implies from the Greek that he is the truth. Oh, how we need this today. So many people say, I have the truth. But the Lord Jesus Christ is unique, and he says, I am the truth. And I often meet people, I don't know if you meet them as well, and they say something, well, your truth is the same as my truth. And everyone has a truth. We live in such confused times, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say here, I am a truth, or I am another truth, or I am an alternative truth. He says, I am the truth. This word is used over 111 times in the New Testament. There are many who claim to be true and authentic. They claim truly that they are religious, that they have salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ is contrasting his truth, that he is the definitive divine truth, compared to all the others who claim to be truth. How do you know what is true? Or better, how do you know what is false? You spend more time with the truth. How do you know? In the old days, we used to have pound notes. I was speaking to a bank clerk a few years ago, and I was fascinated because they had all these pound notes, and I couldn't understand how they knew the difference between a real one and a false one. What do you think their answer was? Perhaps you think that, oh, if they spend enough time with the false, they'll be able to tell what's true. No, the complete opposite. You spend so much time with the true notes, you can tell the difference between a true note, a forgery, and a real note. Same with 50-pound notes. A few years ago, another friend of mine said it was that some of the forgeries were very good, but they spent so much time folding and dealing with 50-pound notes that they were able to tell the difference. How do you know what's true when it comes to salvation? You spend time in the truth. How do you know the difference between a true faith and a false faith? You spend time in the truth. How do you know the difference between a true Savior and a false Savior? You spend time with your true Savior. The truth. You see, it's very simple. These are simple words, but they've deep meaning. How many today? Oh, they're so confused. People are confused about who they are. They're even confused about what they are. We have this argument that young people It's a sad thing to say, but young people are so confused. In the old days, people would say, well, I know what I am. And I know my identity, but today it's all confusion. How do you know what's true? Some people say, well, I'm not sure. That's a good place to start. If you trust in Christ as your Saviour, everything else gets put into its place. Now, somebody says, well, does that mean only the Bible is true? Well, when it comes to teaching of the Bible is all truth. But there is some truth in the world. There is such a colour as black, and there is such a colour as white. There is a way to Edinburgh from Inverness, and there's a way that doesn't lead to Edinburgh. You have to go south, I believe, to get to Edinburgh. There's no point in going north. You'll never get to Edinburgh. Oh, the truth. Do you love this truth? Do you remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 119? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I would not sin against thee. Do you remember what Jesus says, and the Lord Jesus says in John 17, verse 17? Thy word is truth. And then he prays, sanctify them by the truth, for thy word is truth. Oh, friends, the truth. By the way, the word is aletheia. And I've met one or two aletheias in my time, little girls called aletheia. Wouldn't it be wonderful if those little girls knew Jesus Christ as the truth? Well, we've seen the way, the truth. And now let's look finally at the life. And the word here is Zoe. Zoe. If you have somebody, girl called Zoe, maybe it's related to that. What does this? This word is used many times in the New Testament as well. It's a wonderful word. It's used 134 times. It's used in this text. It's used in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. You start in looking at this word and you'd almost be overwhelmed by this simple word. It doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is alive, although he is. It means that he is life. Just as he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Dear believer, see how this applies in a moment. But first of all, I must ask us all, have you seen the prayer of Jesus answered in your own life? In John chapter 17 and verse 3, when he prays, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know God is life. Ah, friends. To have life from God is to be fully alive. Pinch yourself. You're alive. But are you alive spiritually? You see, people are living today and they're all around us and they're alive. And you say, well, what does this mean? It means spiritually alive. It means that you're given the principle of life from God. You're alive to the things of God. You're aware of the things of God. You look at the beautiful surroundings and you see your Creator's hand. But you also see something else. You see his love. You see his grace. You see his mercy. You see his kindness. To be alive. Oh, so many people would say, well, I'm fully alive, thank you very much. I'm going for a walk down the canal or I'm going for a walk up round the Bewley Firth. But are you alive spiritually? Are you aware of who God is? Little children, do you notice God? When I was a young Christian, I learned a song. It's a little children's song. We sang with the children in our young people's work. And it went like this. I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said. It's amazing what little children can learn just as little children. And they repeat the same. And the words are these. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. So simple, and yet so profound. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said, didn't he, in this text? The Lord Jesus said, I am their way, their truth, and their life. He is the authentic way. He is the only way. He is the true way. But where to? He tells us in John 14. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no person can come unto the Father but by me. Oh, friends, in conclusion, think about it this way. Christ is the only way to know God. Secondly, Christ is the only true revelation of God. And thirdly, Christ is the only means to know and experience eternal life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Now, what about the believer? Don't you realize that in this life, as a Christian, you have begun to taste of eternal life? Don't you realize that when you became a Christian, a child of God, that God put in your heart a principle of life that will never die? You sang about it in the hymn. Immortality. Oh, some people think that when we die, we become immortal. No, 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 no. When you are born again in this world, you're given the life, you're given immortality. Oh, our bodies may be laid in the grave, but we go on living with God forever. To be alive this morning. And some friends might say, well, I don't really feel alive. I'm feeling a bit under the weather. But spiritually, to have the Holy Spirit in your life means you're alive. To have Christ as your Savior means you're alive. To have a Heavenly Father who listens to your prayers and who answers those prayers, you're alive. God looks down on the city this morning and he says, now who is alive? Who has come to my Son and trusted in him as their Savior? Who has this spiritual life? And then somebody says, well, I don't have much spiritual life. Isn't it better to have some than none? And how can I know more of this life? How can I know more of the joy of my salvation? How can I know what it is to live for the Lord in this world? Spend time with him. Spend time with the Savior, friends. Oh, to be alive this very morning. To be alive in Christ. The contrast is very simply put in the Bible. The contrast between life and death. Physical life and physical death. Oh, but the Lord is more interested in spiritual life and spiritual death. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to make good people better or to prepare in some way to be saved. No, he came to save. And he gives eternal life. Eternal life. What a thing. If you were suddenly to walk outside the door and to be struck dead by a big articulated lorry, where would you go? Would you go to that place that Jesus calls the Father's house? Would you go to that place where you've been longing for all your life? Or would you go to the other place? Eternal death. You see, the contrast is very clear. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life. And somebody says, well, I'm just about alive as a Christian. But that's not what Jesus says. The Lord Jesus says. He says, I am come that they might have life. What kind of life? This is a quality of life. That they might have it more abundantly. That word, or abundantly, is the overflowing word in the Greek text. I don't suggest you do this, children. But I'm sure mummy or daddy will admit to it one time. Or even grandma and grandpa. When we used to have bath time. I admit, one day I forgot that I'd put my girls in the bath. They were very young, they're not here, so they won't get embarrassed this morning. And I forgot to turn off the bath, the tap of the bath. And what do you think happened? It overflowed onto the bathroom floor. Took me ages to mop it up. But it's a great word for the Christian life. It's overflowing. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman of Samaria that the life will overflow. It'll be like a fountain. Oh, to have this life. Do you have it? You can have it, you know. But on these grounds, that you come to the Lord Jesus and you say, Lord, I have sinned and I've broken thy law and I have not lived as I should have done. But I want this life this morning, Lord. I want to know thee. I want to know you as my Saviour. I want to be assured of a place in glory. I want to walk with you for the rest of my days. The text is very simple. The application is even simpler. But the Spirit of God must do the rest. Jesus Christ says to you, friend, this morning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that word I am is ego am I. I am. That's why it's so important to not just read a Bible and think, oh, I kind of understand that, but ask the question, who is it about? What is it about? Jesus says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no king, no queen consort, no president, no prime minister, no bishop, no cardinal, no religious leader can come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to seek after salvation in Christ. Help us to know him as the way, the truth, and the life. Help us as Christians to enjoy more of that abundant life which has been promised in our covenant Saviour. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.